You're on the record with Madeline Mitchell, and we are just about to crack into one of our Thursday favourites, Language Lab. This week on Language Lab, we are talking to Amanda Hamilton Holloway, a lecturer in linguistics at the University of Western Australia and a member of UWA's Language Lab and a researcher at the University of Queensland. Today, we will be talking all things language complexity. Welcome, Amanda.
Hi.
How are you going?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Well, thank you. So, language complexity, let's get into it. Why are some languages more complex or harder than others?
Well, I think before we ask why, we have to ask whether that's actually a measurable concept even or not. And this is a really great question. People ask me this all the time. But the first thing that I want to say about it is that while this is potentially a question that we can answer empirically, that is through linguistic evidence, it also has the potential to be a really loaded question. So before we even answer it, I think we need to just make sure that we're asking it in a way that could be scientifically answerable in the first place. And I can explain what I mean. So a lot of non-linguists believe that some languages are more developed or more expressive or more, say, optimized for human communication than others are. But actually, none of that is accurate. So all languages have the potential for infinite creativity and all are equally useful for human communication. And in fact, I think what a lot of non-linguists are motivated by when they discuss differences in language complexity, whether they even realize this motivation or not, is their own belief that some cultures or even in fact some people are more sophisticated than others and some are sort of quote unquote primitive. None of that is what I mean or what any linguist would mean when addressing these issues. Those are simply biases. So what we can talk about then is there actually an evidence-based way of evaluating languages against each other for degrees of complexity? And for a lot of years, linguists had kind of a stock answer to this question, where they would say, oh, all languages are generally equally complex, roughly, and that's due to what we call complexity trade-offs. So this is the assumption that where a language is more complex in a given subsystem, so say it has a more complex sound system, it will automatically kind of be less complex in some other subsystem. So maybe it'll, say, be less complex in the way it puts sentences together, and that this would sort of balance out over every language, meaning that no language would really be more appreciably complex than another. And that's called the equal complexity hypothesis. But there's a problem with that, which is that it's really, really hard to actually measure that scientifically. Because if you think about it, what you would have to do in order to validate this equal complexity hypothesis is to identify every single possible area in any language where complexity or simplicity could reside in order to compare them. So you could say maybe, all right, well, we can compare languages based on the number of sounds that they have. But then when you think about that, you can break it down even further. You could say, well, maybe we should compare languages based on, say, the number of tongue positions that the number of sounds that they have require. And then you could think, well, what about maybe the number of lip positions that languages have in the sounds they require? And then when you break it down that finely, it's really infinite. So proving or disproving this equal complexity hypothesis becomes not really actually possible. So while there's probably a lot of truth to this idea that languages do tend to kind of balance out in the terms of the features that they require, we probably can't really prove it scientifically. But there are certainly a few areas in which people have tried to pursue this issue of measuring linguistic complexity and even defining what that would mean. So, for instance, some areas that have been investigated include the average number of sounds per syllable in a given language, the number of syllables per word in a given language, the number of meanings per word in a given language, or even what we call the average conditional entropy within a given language, which means the degree of predictability or irregularity within a grammar. So these are all potential avenues for comparison of cross-linguistic complexity in the future, but there are no definitive answers for any of this yet.
Wow. So when we say hard and complex, it's really a subjective assessment, I suppose.
Absolutely, it is. So that's the other really important part of this question to ask. That is, hard for whom, complex for whom, because everything that I've just said so far has presumed that complexity is absolute or objective and that we can measure it as such. And while that may be partially true, it is also definitely true that complexity is subjective. So we can say, firstly, that nothing is particularly hard for babies. Any healthy infant anywhere in this world will become fluent in the language or the languages that are dominant in their environment. So there's kind of no appreciable difference in complexity to the infant language learner. And additionally, there's no outwardly perceptible, at least, hardness, quote unquote, for adult native speakers. So if a language is your native language, you will be able to use it relatively effortlessly, regardless of what language it is. So there's kind of no perceptible difference of complexity there either. So when somebody starts talking about, oh, this language is a hard language, really what I think they mean is that they think it is hard to learn as an adult language learner, learning it as an additional language.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. So are some languages harder to learn as an additional language? Are there ones that stand out, or is it still a subjective question?
Yeah, that's great. So it is again subjective, because we have to ask, harder to learn as an additional language for whom? Because of course it's going to depend on your background. So as an adult language learner, it's logical to suppose that the ease with which you learn any given language will depend in part on which languages you already know. And that's called the contrastive hypothesis. That is the hypothesis that the particular nature of your first language will somehow affect how you learn additional languages. And there's definitely support for that hypothesis. So I think, like, this is sort of the most obvious way in which we would think that that hypothesis would be supported would be through degree of language difference. So we can imagine scenarios where it's going to be harder to learn a feature that is different from the features that your language already has. And there's certainly support out there that shows that. But what's really cool as well, though, is that there's also support for the opposite idea, so that in some cases, similarity actually inhibits language learning and language use. So there's a really interesting study by Louisa Michelli, who's also at UWA, and also Mark Ellison at Australian National University, who studied bilinguals. So these weren't really language learners, but they were people who spoke two languages, in this case, English and Dutch, and they had them do a sentence completion task. And they found that these bilinguals seemed to tend to avoid using words that sounded similar across their two languages, English and Dutch. So there was kind of this additional monitoring that they were going through to try to keep their languages apart, to try to avoid using things that were the same about them. So that might be one way in which language similarity actually inhibits language learning or language use, in kind of the opposite but also similar way to the way language difference might do so.
Wow. So is that when bilingual people are avoiding using, you know, the same, a similar sounding word, is that a conscious choice they're making, or is that more of like a subconscious, do we know whether that's a conscious choice?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know that it really rises to the level of consciousness where a person would be able to tell you that that's what they had done. But I suppose there is a desire at some level for people to, you know, make it clear which language they're speaking at any given time, at least in certain circumstances. So this was a laboratory circumstance, and that may have influenced it for sure. And what's really cool about their findings is that they then extrapolated this to the idea of language divergence, proposing that this is maybe just one of the many mechanisms by which over time languages might become more dissimilar to each other, or say dialects might become more dissimilar to each other and then eventually become different languages. That is, through having a large community of bilinguals who are just trying to keep these languages apart so that they can show which language they're speaking at any given time.
Yeah, crazy. I always love on Language Lab how I myself am always incoherent on Language Lab asking questions. But no, this is such a cool thing to look at, especially like the different similarities between different languages. I know English is such a mishmash of different languages that I honestly, hats off to anyone who learns English as a second language.
English has certainly borrowed a lot of words from a lot of different languages, yes.
Yes, indeed. So cool. Anyway, thanks for chatting with us today, Amanda.
Thanks for having me.
That was Amanda Hamilton Holloway, a lecturer in linguistics at the University of Western Australia and a member of UWA's Language Lab.